We are continuing from where we stopped last week. And then one of the points that we have made, which I want us all to bear in mind, is that important issue which we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 1, in which we said there are two phases in life, that is in the existence of this world, the one before Jesus Christ, which the Bible called the time of long ago. We read from Hebrews chapter 1. And then now there is a phase which we call this day, in these last days. Yes. So we said those are the two portions of God's relationship with mankind. We've been talking about what we called the revelations of God. All right. So we're going to continue from there today. Before we start, let's just say a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you because it's by your strength and by your willingness that we have been able to come here today to learn of your word. We ask that you give everybody listening the understanding heart and give me eyes of discernment and mouth that's ready to receive God's counsel so that I can express your truth to your people, and that alone in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so we have seen those things, and last week I ended by saying that today we'll talk about the mystery of Paul. That is, like E.W. Kenyon will say, what he called Paul's revelation. And for me, this is very important. And in fact, if you read from the scriptures, you will know that this is of utmost importance to the dealings of God with man. And the reason is because the Bible says that to the Jews was committed the oracles of God. And there's a reason why that is so important to understand. Because sometimes when you commit something to somebody's into somebody's hands, he begins to imagine that it belongs to him. And that was a problem with the nation of Israel. That's, we read that from Romans chapter 3, verse 2. He said, what's the advantage of the Jew, he was saying? He said, great in every respect. He said, first of all, they were entrusted with the oracles of God. If you notice the word, it's a matter of entrusting. They entrusted them. And when something is entrusted in your hands, what does that tell you? It does not belong to you. You have just been given to keep it, to guard it. And that's what God did to the children of Israel. So the things that he calls the oracles of God, in reality, are the plan that God has for the whole of mankind. It's just that it was delivered to the Jews for safekeeping. Do you get my point? And that gave them an advantage in that they are supposed to be the first to know it. But then you will see that along the line, as a nation, they didn't understand that. And one of the problems they had, and they still have till today, and you see, you have to get this point, all the disciples of Jesus Christ, the original disciples, those apostles, they were all Jews. And they grew up with the Jewish superiority mentality when it came to relating with God. You understand my point? If you see, they used to brag about their relationship with God. When Jesus would speak, they would say, we are of our Father Abraham. That Abraham is our father. Well, they were talking to John. Do you understand? He said, Abraham is our father. That is, they took pride in the fact that God, you know, they are descendants of Abraham that had a relationship with God. And that's a fact. They looked down on everybody else on this earth. Interesting enough, it crept into Christianity. The early disciples still felt, and you can go and read the book of Acts, you will find what I'm saying there. They actually still felt that that the revelation of Jesus Christ, Jesus as a person, belonged to the Jews alone. You can see how alarmed they were when Peter went to the house of Cornelius and received the Cornelius household received the gospel. You know, they gathered and waited for Peter to come back. You know that? For those who are, okay, let's refer to it to you. It'd just be good to use that one to explain. Open your Bibles quickly to Acts chapter 10. Now, if you later you can take time and read the story. It was by vision and revelation that Peter finally agreed to go to the house of Cornelius. Otherwise, Peter wasn't planning to go there at all. You'll see how God persuaded him. But what I wanted to note is when he came back, you know the rest of the story. We don't have time to read it, and that's not the main thing we are discussing. Okay, if you go into that's chapter 11, verse 1. It said, now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. Now, their issue was not that they received the Holy Spirit. Now, please notice this. Or that they believed the word of God. You know what their issue was? Somebody went to present it to them. I don't know whether you're noticing this. Then who was that? Who went to preach there? Listen to this. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. That's an expression in my Bible. Like, what? What's your problem here? And they said, you went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them. Then Peter began speaking and proceeded, the Bible says, to explain to them in orderly sequence what happened. Are you getting my point? They absolutely felt that Peter had crossed the line in preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, even going to the house of a Gentile. What I'm saying is very, very strong. It's very, very important because it was such a stronghold. You will see when Peter was explaining, Paul, at the point in time, he said, I had to challenge Peter. Why? Because once they were gathered, Christians were gathered. And Christians were eating. Some Christians were Jews, like Peter. The rest were not Jews. And when some came from Jerusalem, and Peter saw them approaching, Peter began to say, you don't go eat again. No. Later. He wanted to quickly clean his mouth so that they would not know he was eating with the Christians that were not Jews. Paul said, at that point in time, I got really angry. And I rose up, I spoke publicly against Peter. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Listen, what I'm saying may sound like, why are you taking so much issues with this? Because it affects the understanding of the scriptures. One day, I was watching, you've heard me refer to that in our Saturday teachings. I was watching a man on TV, and he was trying to explain how important the Jews are to God. And that all the promises of the Bible were for the Jews. And I was Saint Augustine that went and twisted the scriptures to make it look like it applied to everybody. You know, like I always tell you, for me, the alarm was that I never knew Saint Augustine had anything to do with it. I could show this man enough scriptures to fill his library, to prove to him that I do not need Saint Augustine to corrupt this thing to make it say, well, it is not sin. All I need to do is read the scriptures and it will be very, very clear. That way, I mean, because of this misunderstanding, people come and tell you that for any nation to prosper, they need to have a relationship with the Jews. I've heard people who know God's word tell me that, you see, every company that prospers has a Jew there. And I keep on looking like, excuse me, which Bible are you reading? That's my own. I'm not saying you are totally wrong. Maybe you know what you are saying. But please, it is not so taught in these scriptures. You get my point? Remember when I was talking about Melchizedek? People said it was Jesus Christ that appeared. I said, maybe you are right. But please, the Bible didn't say so. In the same manner, in fact, this one, the Bible says otherwise. So let's even leave that one. It's not to be compared with that of Melchizedek. The Bible indeed said otherwise. The Bible made it clear that what these people are saying is not right. And we're going to, that's what we want to look into today. It affects, look, there are people who tell you that if you want to be blessed, give offering to Jews. And there are Jews that are having problems in Palestine. So you send them money. Listen to me. Let me tell you, take this from me. I said it. The amount of blessing you get from sending money to Jews is the same amount you get as sending money to Rwanda. What God has always blessed, read your Bible, is given to the poor. Do you follow my point? It had nothing to do with the fact that the poor people are Jews. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. And I'm just summarizing what I'm going to show you from the scriptures today because I will find it that way easier to tailor the things I'm saying. This is one thing I want to dispel. That doctrine that Jews are separate in their relationship with God or superior to other people. Listen to me, friends. If that was then, this is what? Now. And we are going to read scriptures to show that. E.W. Kenyon said something once. I picked this one from him. He said, there are three ethnic divisions of mankind. And let's read it. Open to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think it's in verse 32. He said, give no offense. either to Jews or to Gentiles, I'm using King James now, or to the church of God. Paul described three groups. Number one, he said, don't give any offense either to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. That is, there are three ways God divided people. He says some are Jews. Are you getting my point? Others are Gentiles. Now you have to understand, there's something I teach my students. I say, I'm a pathologist, all right? So I teach medicine, I teach pathology. One of the things you learn as a medical student is how to classify diseases, all right? All the works of Satan, you try and group it into different manifestations. So I tell them that to classify, you must always have a reference, the basis upon which you are classifying. Because how do you classify this? Don't just come and say, it's divided into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I say, who divided it? That's the first question you ask. Or for what purpose? In the same manner, when Paul is referring here to divisions of mankind, he was referring to it based on the covenants of God, how God has related with people. Do you understand my point? There, he said there are three groups. Number one, he said the Jews. Number two, the Gentiles. Number three, the church of God. Now, I want to clarify some things. Now, which country do you find the church of God? Which country? Physically speaking, every nation of the earth. Is that all right? Therefore, the Gentiles, within them you find the church of God, right? The Jews, within them you find the church of God. And what was God saying? It's either you are a Jew or a Gentile or you are a church of God. You understand what I mean there? There is nothing like you are a Jewish church of God or a Gentile church of God. That is, in reality, spiritually speaking, the day you started being a church of God, you have stopped being a Jew. Because if it was possible to be, in effect, a Jew and a Christian, there is also possible to be a Gentile and a Christian. What I'm saying, is it making sense? Because the way God divides it is not into Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Now, you can say that for a matter of nationality, that is, within the realms of this physical realm, that is, now you can say somebody is a Nigerian Christian, that is a Christian from Nigeria. You can have a Christian from Ghana. You can have a Christian from South Africa. You can have a Christian from Brazil. In that way, you can say that this man is a Christian from Israel. But you see, it doesn't make sense anymore if you say he's a Christian from the Gentiles. You know, it doesn't make sense. Therefore, that division is null and void. You cannot say somebody is a Jewish Christian. It's not sound teaching. That's why Paul will use words like the so-called circumcised. Did you notice that the way he used to refer to them? He said the so-called circumcised. Because it was explained to them that real circumcision has come. The other one has now become the fake circumcision. You are getting my point? Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. Because you find out that the Bible says clearly, in Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. That is, outside Jesus Christ, they are not there. What I'm saying is clear now. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, if the Jew does not believe in Jesus Christ, he has as much hope as a Rwandan who does not believe in Jesus Christ. I tell people that if you see otherwise, then you are telling me there are two ways to God. I mean, they will start creating alternative channels to get to God. You bypass Jesus Christ and go through the Jewish covenant. Say, no one comes to the Father, he said, except by me. I want you to get that point clear. So what was Paul saying here? You are either a Jew or a Gentile or a church of God. Or let's use proper English. Or a member of the church of God. Once you are a Christian, you are no longer validly a Jew, nor can you be accurately described as a Gentile. You are following what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to bring out, we are going to look at all of this in details. At least I'm happy we are picking this one by one. Now, there's a portion of the scriptures I want to really read it from, which will really expose everything properly. We'll read from the book of Ephesians. Now, what I'm going to read is very long, so please, I want you to just note it very, follow me very closely. I will jump some verses that we all know and go start from verse 10. I'm going to read a very long verse and highlight some points as I go on. He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh." Are you seeing that? Paul always tried to emphasize this thing, that this is no longer relevant. He said, "Formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision." Are you seeing the point I'm making here? He said, "which is performed in the flesh by human hands." Verse 12, "remember that you were at that time separate from Christ." What word struck you there? Please, what word struck you? Whether it struck you the way it struck me. Thank you very much. At that time. Are you seeing the matter of timing? That sometimes we read the scriptures in the year 2000 after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and be interpreting it as if it is 2000 before the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you understand my point? It said, at that time, the days of long ago that we talked about, he said, at that time, you were separate from Christ. That is, you did not have a hope of the Messiah. That's what they were saying. He said, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, all of these things were obtainable when? Just use the words. At that time. At that time, you were strangers to the covenants of promise. That means at this time, you are not. Are you following my point? He said, but now, I like the way he just said, but. And once you put but, you have thrown away the other argument. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Which groups? The Jewish group and the Gentile group. Please, have you seen that our error came from not simply reading the Bible? Let me go by it again. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Therefore, as far as Jesus is concerned, there is no Jew and Gentile. That is Jew and then Gentile. They are one person. They are the same thing. Let's go on. He said, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity. What is that enmity? He said, the enmity is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He said, he did that so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, no more division, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Now, you're getting the point here? That is, the only way they can get to God is through the cross. Is that okay? And he says, whether Jew or Gentile, that is the only way. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? Are you seeing that I didn't develop this doctrine? I read it from the Bible. Therefore, I have found it so difficult to understand. When a man will stay on TV and tell me the key to prosperity is relationship with Jews, I tell him which version. Obviously, your Bible does not contain the New Testament. It doesn't. And even the old one, this truth is inside it. You are reading the old one with a covered face. The veil has not yet been removed. Go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You understand what I'm saying? If it had been removed, you should be able to see this, because Paul saw it under the old covenant also. He didn't have a Bible the way we have it, New Testament. He had only the Old Testament, and he saw it in there. Though, of course, Jesus had to explain it to him personally. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's go on. He said he came, now quoting now verse 17, he was quoting the Old Testament. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. 18 says, for through him, we both have our access. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you have the same access to the Father. Saying in one spirit. Verse 19, what is the conclusion Paul was saying? He says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice this, because it's still the same thing. Paul is still speaking. He has not broken trend. There's a break here just for reference purposes. He has not broken what he's saying. He said, for this reason, everything I've told you now, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. There's something he's bringing out here. There's a gap. He said, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. What he was saying, that what I'm telling you is a mystery about Christ Jesus, which people didn't understand. He said, but God has made me a prisoner so that I will go to the Gentile nations and tell them that, you see, those people who call themselves Jews, they are no longer special. That they were special. But now, whether you or them, you have the same access to the Father. Are you following the point? He said, what is it that I go around telling? He said, I go around telling my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations, verse 5, was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. There's something to explain there, but let's just go on. What is it? My Bible says, verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Listen to what he said. When he's talking about promise, he was saying that there were promises. These promises were effected, were made good in Christ Jesus. And anybody, Jew or Gentile, who believed in him would partake of that promise. You follow my point? He said, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. That's my assignment in life. That's the summary of what he's saying. Now, let me just stop here. What I really want to bring out has been highlighted here. Now, the point we are making here is this. You can see from what Paul has, what Paul is saying, that there is something that people did not understand ahead of time until he came and began to preach it. He was not the first person Jesus revealed it to. I believe he revealed the same thing to Peter, and Peter couldn't hear it. You know, Jesus would say, there are things I want to tell you. You can't hear them now. Because he said he's being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. It's not just me. That's what Paul was saying. It's just that it is my assignment to go to the Gentile nations to go and tell them about it. I told you last week, the problem Paul ever had, you know, that is the interesting part. Sometimes we don't understand that a human being is a human being. He's also grown in perfection in Christ Jesus. Are you getting what I'm going to say? When Paul was preaching, go and read the Bible well. All these problems arose from discussing with the Jews. All his problems arose from discussing with the Jews. He should have known that Jerusalem was not a place he was supposed to go to. His grace carried him to every Gentile city so that he can tell them that, boys, Jew or Gentile, is the same thing. That God doesn't understand the difference. I was thinking somewhere once, somebody said that, look, on every important board of particular successful companies, there's a Jew. I said, you should go and check. On those boards, there are Christians. It is not the Jew that's bringing in the blessing. It's the Christian. And in case a Jew can bring in a blessing, because you have to understand something. How do I explain this? And I don't want to bring it up in one way so I don't confuse what I'm saying. There were blessings that Jews experienced. It tend to continue on their generations in certain levels. Do you get my point? But it's far inferior to the one that God has brought in Christ Jesus. That is, if a Jew brings a blessing into a company, a Christian can bring a better one into it if you understand the principles of God. Are you following the point I'm making? A Christian can bring a better one. In fact, the Bible says it clearly that the one that's a real descendant of Abraham, the blessing we're talking about is not the blessing of Jacob. We're talking about what? The blessing of Abraham. A real descendant of Abraham, the Bible says, is the one that is of faith in Christ Jesus, not the one that is of a natural descent. Are you getting the point I'm making? So I said today we are explaining this. This is what we call the mystery of Paul. That is a mystery that God gave to Paul to go and explain to people. There's something I want to, well, I will explain, still in the same line, but we'll use it to conclude what we are discussing today. We read it last week, and then we should go over it again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, before I read what I want to read here, all right? When we were in school those days, now listen to this. Once we had a discussion, and then you know, there are things that will come up and we'll say it's Old Testament. Maybe especially when it comes to laws and commandments. And then one day we read a promise. I remember then it had to do with prosperity. And one of my friends said, all of you see, now you are forgetting that it's Old Testament. When it is a responsibility, you remember it's Old Testament. When it is a promise now, all of you will forget it's Old Testament. The kind of person that I am, I heard him in my heart, and I began to ask questions. But God helped me to understand, and we're going to look at that. The truth is that there were promises that God gave apparently to the Jews. But the Bible says it was not for them. They were what? Custodians. Do you understand my point? Now, there were blessings of fulfilling the covenant that they made on Mount Sinai. God will say, if you do this, I will do this. Let me say this. I hope I won't be misunderstood. Those blessings were tied to that obedience. Therefore, both the commandment and the blessings are old covenant. You don't understand? Let me explain again. If God gave Moses, go and tell the people, if you do this, I will do this. And it was a commandment, it was part of the covenant they made on Mount Sinai. Then what was happening is that both the blessing and the commandment belong to that covenant. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what the Bible calls old covenant. It's definitely under the old covenant. But the Bible says that some things are recorded for learning. Are you getting my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. Job was before the old covenant. You know that? Job. Therefore, you can see that for God to bless a man that feared him is not an old covenant thing. Are you getting the point I'm making? You don't understand. See, the fact that something was found under the old covenant does not mean it is exclusive to the old covenant. The blessing we are dealing with started with Abraham. Do you understand my point? Yet, the blessings of Abraham, God told Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great. I'm trying to explain something here. That we are not trying to shred the old covenant. Now, let me explain again. Old covenant does not mean the portion of the Bible you call old covenant. Isaiah is not old covenant. Jeremiah is not old covenant. When we are saying covenant, is when God tells somebody, do this and I will do this. These are my commandments, obey them. And if you do, I will give this one to you in return. Now, so that one is not a division of, that one is a covenant. It's an agreement that you are entering into with God. Now, from that, you can notice the character of God. Do you get my point? That normally what God does, for example, he'll tell you that, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy waters. Now, that was not exactly a term of the covenant. It was what I call an eternal principle. That when you serve the Lord thy God, he blesses your bread and thy waters. Because that's an eternal principle. But what you need to understand is that the way it is operated under the old covenant is different from the way to be operated under the new or to be operated by Abraham. But the principle is the same. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God and he shall bless thy bread and thy waters. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. So let me get back to what I was saying. So people will say that, which one is New Testament? Which one is Old Testament? The Ten Commandments, for example, is Old Testament. But the things in there, most of them are eternal. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That package that God gave Moses, the whole package ended at a particular point in time. But before that was the fear of God, so it didn't end. You are getting the point I'm making here. You are following the principle. So I want us to understand some things about that. Because we're going to read something here, and it's important we bear all these things in mind so that we can understand it properly. Now, having explained that, I want to bring out a few points here, because that's one issue that people have to understand. Because sometimes you say that something is under the Old Testament. It's part of the law. Okay, that's another thing. The law, what we call the law, are the laws of the Old Covenant. Do you understand my point? That's just what we call the law. All right? Now, but there are laws that are not under the law. Do you get my point? There are works that are not works of the law. There are works of faith. There are things that you will do because of faith and not because you are trying to obey the laws of Moses. Are you following the point I'm making? So things that have to do with the law, yes, the law passed away. But there are things that were before the law. Walking by faith was before the law. And James said, faith always produces works. You are following the point I'm making? All right, so let's go on. Now, what I want to read here, we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. I referred to it last time. Now, Peter was explaining 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning from, I'll just read from verse 8. He said, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Now, let's talk about the salvation. Peter is saying, verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that will come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Notice something here. The prophets were prophesying. And we made it clear last time, they did not understand what they were saying. Remember what I said last week? That if you give Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, then to write a commentary on the book of Jeremiah, he will have told you things that are not correct. My best prophet of them all is Isaiah. Isaiah is my favorite prophet. Well, maybe David also. So I call David a prophet. If you read the Psalms, they were mostly prophecies. All right? Now, David and Isaiah will be my favorite prophets. If you give David his Psalms to comment on, he will have told you things that are 95% wrong about what will come later. If you give it to Isaiah, all Isaiah will be thinking about are the things going on around. Even down, I'm sorry to say, to John the Baptist. John the Baptist prophesied, and when he saw fulfillment of his prophecy, he was confused. You know that? People say that's why he died. That's not why he died. Prophets who were confused before him didn't die. So, that's not why he died. He expected something different from what Jesus Christ really represented. That was why he could say, are you the one to come? Or we are to expect another? Now, I'm bringing out this from all of this from here. Verse 10, he said, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that will come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. What did God tell them? All God told them that, verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in those things which now have been announced to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. What was he saying? That the prophets wanted to understand. When will this thing come to pass? Oh boy, it's not for your time. Forget it. What exactly is going to come to pass? He said, it's not for your time. You are serving another generation of people that have not yet come. So the prophets died believing that these prophecies are true, but we don't know what's going to happen about them. Let me ask you a question. What to call the gospel of Jesus Christ? When was it first preached? I will answer you. Before Jesus Christ was born, the gospel was being preached. How do I know? It's written down here clearly. That's to this salvation. He said, as to this salvation, people were already prophesying of it. There's something I want you to understand. Open quickly to the book of Romans now. Paul explained this. Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. Paul, a born servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Are you seeing that? The gospel, the same gospel we're talking about. Which he promised beforehand, through whom?
through whom? His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Are you seeing that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that we are walking in now, it wasn't preached first by Peter, James, and John. It was preached first by whom? By the prophets, long before Jesus came. There's a reason why I'm coming to this. Peter said, where we read just now, that the prophets prophesied of two things, the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And we have seen from Paul that he said those glories are not the glories reserved for the Jews, but for everyone who will believe in Christ Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile. I think we are clear on that. Therefore, you see, the man who told me that St. Augustine corrupted things, you know that he himself is the one that's corrupted in his mind. He has not properly read the scriptures. But if you have to understand something here, you hear things like in the Bible, they tell you that, listen, O Judah, take it from me. When he says, listen, O Judah, he's talking about all those who will believe in Christ Jesus. If you're in that situation, listen also. Two things he said were described in the whole of the gospel of God. The gospel of God started from Genesis. Let me quickly explain what I'm saying here. You've heard it said a lot of times that the New Testament was written to the Christians and the Old Testament to the Jews. So a Christian who wants to grow quickly should start reading from where? The New Testament. As nice as it sounds, it's not true. The Old Testament contains the gospel of God. Do you know what the New Testament contains? The introduction into understanding it. That's why we used to say those days that the church of those days, that they didn't have the advantage that we have now. We have the whole Bible. No, the only advantage I know we have now is like I have a computer here and on it I have 10 different translations of the Bible. That's the only advantage. And then we can print plenty Bibles. If it has to content, there is no advantage. Do you know why? What is the advantage? All the letters of Paul. Paul was there talking to them directly. You are reading letter. Paul was there. Now you can confuse yourself that, no, what Paul meant, that one, there was no question of what Paul meant. Ask Paul. Bro, Paul, what did you say? Explain it further. And he will explain it further. Right? Peter, James, John, all the people who wrote the New Testament, they were with them. And after they left, their letters were not taken away. The letters remained, which is what you and I are reading till today. Now, my emphasis is that what were they reading? They also had the Old Testament, what you and I call Old Testament, what they called the law and the prophets. And they could read it and be blessed because the teachers that God sent to them picked those letters and told them that don't mind. Like Paul would say, look, I have come to understand that these promises are for both Jews and Gentiles. And in fact, they are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. So they will take Isaiah chapter 49, like we said, like I referred to on Saturday. Or let me start from Isaiah chapter 40. We tell you, comfort ye, my people. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Say, don't mind. The fact that I say Jerusalem does not mean it belongs only to the Jews. It belongs to everybody who is oppressed, who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak kindly to him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So when people say that one is the Old Testament, one, no, those things are promises, which Paul said, they are what you call the gospel of God, which were preached beforehand, but they were not confirmed until Christ Jesus. And the Bible said in him, all the promises of God are confirmed. And he said, we all have the same entrance, whether Jews or Gentiles, into these promises. So whether you live in Palestine, you know, I told you that once a man came to Lagos. He said, blessed are those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He came for a redeemed Holy Ghost conference. And said, everybody should face the east, which is the direction of Jerusalem, and start praying for Jerusalem. And one of my friends who was there, he came to tell me later. He said, everybody was looking like this man, like, what's wrong with this fellow? And I've been more who pray for healing and food joy. What do you concern us concerning the Wahala with the girl for Jerusalem? Now, it's misinterpretation of the scriptures. It's wrong application having crossed the time barrier. Before Jesus, it might have been cool. But right now, you are missing the point. Pray for the blessing of Jerusalem. What do I do? I do not have any special passion for Jerusalem as a physical city. The one that they are fighting over. There are three holy sites there. The Christian holy site. They say Jesus Christ was... My pastor in Lagos used to say something, those days that used to make me laugh. They would go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You see, you know, for the nation of Israel, they don't care about your Jesus Christ. It's your personal problem. As far as they are concerned, it's a matter of dollar, man. So Nigerian come, each one of them will want $1,000 in their pocket. That dollar must finish before you go. So you come on a plane, you have 500, so you are going to the holy city. The souvenirs, oil from Jerusalem. This one was harvested from the tree upon which Jesus sat when he was talking. Before Peter climbed this tree when he wanted to watch Jesus going to heaven, buy the oil from it. The Jew doesn't care about Peter. He doesn't care about Jesus Christ. But since he's important to you, Christian, he will bring the special oil. So my pastor gave a gist there. He said, you talk about the tomb in which Jesus Christ was laid. He said, there are at least three. Depending on the tourist company you are using. Oh, there are two. Oh, he said he has a picture of two. That is a company. They just said, okay, boys, this is the tomb of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? They say, yes. So when all the Nigerian Christians come, take them here. And for the German Christians, they can't climb this way. Look, that's the other tomb of Jesus Christ they will use. Different tombs of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? It's a matter of cash. Their strongest ally is United States, a nation of Christians. They are majority Christians there. If those guys keep tripping down to come and see where, you yourself think about, is it possible, really, to know the manger in which Jesus Christ lived, was born? Which kind of manger is that? Or better building, where they build, don't go. How much more one manger? But they will find manger for you. You won't see manger. No problem. They were in the goat, in fact, that this goat is a great-grandchild of the goat that was there. And I watch TV. This is a funny part. I watch TV. Preachers will say, amen. I won't mention names, all right? This is bank, all right? I don't do such thing, but let's just use my name. Also, praise the Lord. Please send in your prayer request. Pastor Banky is going to be going to Jerusalem next week, and he's going to carry your prayer request down to the border of the Jordan River, the very one in which Jesus was baptized. Huh? Prayer request. Prayer request. Okay? Now, what I'm just saying is that, see, the man was saying, pray for Jerusalem. And nobody cared about praying for Jerusalem. I was saying, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Look, Derek Prince is a man, I love him so much. He died a few years ago. Look, blessed man of God. He said, God called him to Jerusalem. You know, as God called him to Jerusalem, so did God call me to Enugu. Is that not so? People live in Jerusalem. Abi? Does God love those in Jerusalem? No, ask me. Answer me. Does he love them? Does he love those who live in Oka here? As he sends one man to Oka, he sends one to Jerusalem. Derek Prince was sent to Jerusalem. Banky was sent to Enugu. There's no argument about it. If you think I believe that it was because of the special love for God has for Jerusalem, look, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I have read in my scriptures that the love of God has been placed upon the body of Christ. That's what I have read. That is, if three Christians gather in Sahara Desert, it holds more promises than anywhere else in the world that doesn't have any Christian. Are you getting my point? One of the problems we have had is because the Christianity has not been a nation, a physical nation. So you have not been able to tap into the richness of the history of what Christianity has done. But if you have opened your eyes wide, you will have seen that power has always entered this earth. Prosperity has always entered this earth by virtue of the release of the Spirit of Christ. Far superior to what any Jew has ever produced. Are you getting my point? People have said all kinds of things. I've heard people say that, Bill Gates, he was the richest man because he's a Jew. The man is not a Jew. Is he a Jew? He's not a Jew. We keep on trying to tell stories. He said, because his grandfather paid tithes to Melchizedek. I just shake my head. I said, what kind of thing is this? I'm saying all of this because we have to understand the scriptures. Blessing is in approaching to God. And we just read now, starting from Ephesians chapter 2 into chapter 3, that we have our approach through Christ Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile, that the wall of partition, which was represented by the law, has been abolished in Christ Jesus. Therefore, God doesn't understand that whether one is Jew or Gentile, all he sees is who is coming through the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, Jew or Gentile, approaches unto the Father except by me. Do you get the point I'm making? What we are saying is so important for people to understand. So that you will not go around telling people that, listen, you know why Nigeria is not prospering? They severed diplomatic relations with Israel long ago. He says, that's so.
You know, Jesus is the most important. No, Jesus Christ as a person is the most important export that Israel has. They export the oil from where he lived. You've not seen water from Jordan. And some of them are made in Onitsha from the river Niger there. Yeah, you don't know. You just go there, you go to Onitsha now, you will see water that one JP. You know what's JP? Jerusalem Pilgrim. It used to be Justice of the Peace those days, but now it's most JPs you see around are Jerusalem Pilgrims. Do you get my point? So the Jew respects Jesus as an economic factor. Without Jesus, half of their income is gone. Do you know how many Nigerians enter plane, carry better money, go spend there every year, and they come back with bottles of olive oil? And the olive oil cannot be the same price as the normal olive oil, and the one from the land of Jesus Christ. Wait. And thank God for that brother that has two different tombs in which two Jesus Christs rose up from the dead. Is it on the same day or two different days? Amen. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. All right, let's read what Paul, Peter. We're reading Peter just now. So Peter was explaining that there are what they call the sufferings of Christ. I've also said Pastor Paul, you teach along these lines those days, and the glories to follow. Do you know? Since then, I've always seen it in the scriptures that every time there is a suffering, there is always a glory. And do you know how to tap into your own promise of God? Find the suffering you are in right now. Don't read further down the line. You find the glory is yours. You claim it anytime you want it. By faith in Christ Jesus. There's something I want you to understand. You see, it's in recent times, while reading the New Testament, I understand how prophetic about Christ. You have to understand the meaning of the word Christ. I will try and explain something here without confusing you. When the Bible uses the word Christ, I believe most times, without saying Jesus Christ, no, just Christ, it's talking about more than the person, the single person, Jesus, who came to the earth. It's talking about the body of Christ, the whole, everything that Jesus achieved on the cross. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That when he talks about Christ, Christ is not a name that belongs to Jesus alone. That you see this Banky, if you were to write his name fully, it's Banky Christ. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? You don't get the point. And if you call your name, the proper adjective to qualify it, if you walk the way God wants you to walk, is Christ. That is, Jesus entered a place and said, I have opened a door for everybody to come in. So when you talk about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow, that apply to Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? Then any believer in Christ Jesus will also look and say, how does it go? Sufferings of Christ, I'm there. And the glories to follow, it's mine also. Did I lose you there? Or you don't fully understand? Don't worry, think about it one day. God will help you to understand. What I'm saying is very true. Well, if you see the word Christ like that in the Bible, all right, he's not talking just about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus as the head of that body. And everybody that is in that body is part of that Christ. You are getting the point I'm making? That is the way it works. That is the way it works. So what everybody needs to do is, in fact, when I read the scriptures, like last Saturday, you heard me reading from Isaiah chapter 49. I said it was a great encouragement to my soul. Why? Because I was reading things. Okay, I was saying something just now, that when I read the Bible, I now see how prophetic about the Christ that the whole of the Old Covenant is, and the whole of the law and the prophets. Because, go and read it. You just be talking like, if you go and read in context, where it was talking about, I will declare my name, your name amongst my brethren. I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders. You saw it quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, right? Go and read it from Isaiah. You will have thought that Isaiah was just talking about himself, because Isaiah married a wife and they had children and he was giving them names. But he was a prophet. His whole life was supposed to be prophetic about the Christ. Are you getting my point? So, to my surprise, they just speak and said, and Isaiah and I said that because the name of the children were named according to events happening in Israel. So he now said, I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders. When it was going to be quoted in the New Testament, they said, that's about Jesus Christ and his descendants. I will call your name amongst my brethren. You heard David talking, oh God, because you have helped me, I will declare your name amongst my brethren. It's quoted there that is Jesus Christ. You see the whole, look, if God,
if God were to open your eyes and you look into the scriptures, you'll be amazed at the richness of the thing. That's why Paul said, oh, well, don't let's go there now. That's why Paul talked about the unsearchable riches. I thought there's a book I'm writing. I've not finished it. I abandoned writing it more than 2 years ago. Because now I've written a large volume. The hand that I was telling you about is the introduction to that book. Unsearchable riches. That's the title. Because what Paul was saying is that the thing is too much. Where do we start from? That if you understand this thing fully, Paul said he understood this so much that it was not possible, humanly speaking, for him not to be proud. He said, because of the depth of understanding, of revelations, so that I will not be exalted above measure. God said, let's put you in check. Do you follow my point? That if a man really understands, you will understand that, look, some of these things we are running after is not necessary at all. That life is so easy to handle if a man learns how to step into that position that we call Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But what I'm emphasizing here is the fact that Peter said there are the sufferings of Christ and that glory is always preceded by those sufferings. And at any time a man finds himself in the sufferings of Christ and is a believer in Christ Jesus, if you watch out, there are glories to follow. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, when you see challenges in life, don't say everybody's going through it. I like one thing my pastor said those days. He said there were many people in prison, right? The times of Joseph. There were many of them unjustly imprisoned, right? He said, but the same thing that everybody was going through was what God used to raise Joseph to a high level. So I know Nigeria has had this problem, and of course, are you saying that every Nigerian, because they are there, they will experience this? That's their problem. But I have discovered that for me to be born under certain circumstances and pass through certain things, because I am a believer in Christ Jesus, the Bible said there are glories to follow. That there are glories to follow. I told you then that earlier that people said that read the New Testament. Hey, wait, that's not so. Read Isaiah. Two books that have blessed me more than any other one ever since I got this understanding around 1997 is Psalms and Isaiah. If you see the Bible I had then, I still have it in my house. Isaiah is colored from my hand. That is, you know, death. The pages are squeezed. Because every time I opened it, it will say, comfort ye, my people. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished, that she has received double of the hand of the Lord for all her iniquities. He said, get up behind my... He begins to... Do you know? It's as if Isaiah is sitting there and says, banky, banky, how now? I got news for you. That's how the thing used to do me. That was how the day I read Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. When he declared that Gentiles will bring wealth from afar to your gates, I said, these are the glories of Christ. All I need to do is prune myself of all defilement of flesh and spirit, thereby stepping into the fullness of Christ. Then, that's my portion. Do you understand my point? It is not St. Augustine. Anybody who said that St. Augustine was the one that twisted the scripture is not true. I've heard all kinds of powerful names. I'm so thankful to God I didn't learn my Bible from a school of theology. Do you understand my point? I read it by hearing teachings around, reading books here and there, studying the scriptures, praying. Because there are times I want to get into discussion with people. They'll say, I was discussing with somebody once. We're talking about the matter of tithes and that. I remember that day. He said, are you telling me that you believe in the dispensational teachings of Christ? I said, what did you say? He said, dispensational teachings of Christ. I said, excuse me, I have never heard that expression before. Never. But what I'm telling you, let me break it down. And it is clear from the scriptures. Then why I remember that? Because one day I was reading a book. And someone was saying that there are different ways of interpreting the scriptures. Some people use this substitutory method. I said, eh? That everywhere they see Jew, they substitute church. I said, oh, so there is a name for it. I did not substitute church for Jews. God forbid. I never substituted church for Jerusalem. I just said everything that they said belonged to Jerusalem, to Judah, to Israel, or to Jerusalem. Paul said that God revealed to him, and I strongly believe it to be so, that the wall of division has been separated. Do you understand my point? I mean, if there were two buckets here, separate, or maybe one big cylinder, separated by tight ceiling partition. If you pour water into one, it doesn't get to the other. You don't get into the other one. We praise God for that. No problem. Then one day, when Jesus Christ came, collected his cross and banged on the partition, and the thing broke, and he scraped all the pieces and took it away. Are you now saying that the water is no longer for this side of the cylinder? I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying pour it inside, it will reach the two sides. Why? Because the wall of partitioning has been what? Removed. That's what we are saying. No? And Paul said, nobody understood this. That was why Peter went to Jerusalem, to Cornelius. And when he got back to Jerusalem, the Bible says some people, go and read it again now, Acts chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. He says some people picked issues with him. Have you found that in your Bible? That Paul always greeted people at the beginning. I have heard of your faith. I've heard of your perseverance. I've heard of your patience. I've heard of this. When he got to Galatians, after introducing himself, first statement, oh foolish Galatians. No, go and read your Bible. You know the interesting thing? He greeted the Corinthians. I've heard of your faith and your love and your desire in the spirit, how you are manifest. The same people, he told them, amongst you, I have heard of iniquity, the type that is not even named amongst the people around, the unbelievers. That a man took his father's wife. Even the unbelievers don't do that. But the Galatians, he never said they stole money. Is it not funny? They never took anybody's girlfriend, that much more father's wife. Yet, there was no I've heard of your faith. He said, oh foolish Galatians. Who cast a spell upon you? King James says, who has bewitched you? Do you know why? Because somebody went and preached to them that for you to tap into blessing, for you to get righteousness that pleases God, you need to obey the laws of Moses. And Paul wanted to die. That was when he began to... That was one time Paul had to present his credentials. He said, listen to me. What I am telling you, I did not hear it from Peter, lest you think it has been corrupted before I got it. He said, I got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. And when he said that, he did not mean the way Banky says revelation. That is like, I was praying and revelation hit me. That was not what he meant. Go and read the stories of Kenhagen. You will know what they meant by revelation of Jesus Christ. The meaning of that Greek word means that there was a physical appearance of Jesus Christ. Jesus will come in, take a seat, and sit down. And say, Paul, sit down there. Let us talk. This was what happened. That's why he told them that what happened on the last night, I wasn't there, but let me narrate it to you. He said, what I received of the hand of the Lord, the same I delivered to you. That on the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. You know he wasn't there. When Jesus appeared to him, he said, on the night I was betrayed, I took bread. And he was accurate. He said, I had preached this gospel for 14 years. Before I even bothered to go to Jerusalem and go and call Peter, say, what really happened? You were a witness. Let's compare notes. What am I deceiving myself? Are you getting the point? That what I'm preaching, I didn't learn it from Peter. He said, let me tell you. That was when he was telling them story that, okay, I know those of you are Catholics. You think Peter was the Pope. Okay, listen, let me tell you. Peter spoke, did something was wrong. I challenged him publicly. Even if he's your Pope, he's not superior to me in revelation. That's what he was telling them. That when he makes a mistake, I tell him to calm down. Are you getting the point? That's what Paul was angry. He said, listen, if you are talking about bragging, I should be the one bragging. He wrote down to the Philippians that, listen, what I'm telling you within the Galatians, anyone who teaches you anything different, the only time Paul used such expressions, he said, let him be accursed. That if anybody tells you, you need to keep the Sabbath, you need to sacrifice, you need to do this according to the laws of Moses before you can be pleasing to God, he said, may God judge him. That's what he was saying. Paul didn't find a point, Now listen, these were people who were not fornicating. They were not committing. No, the Corinthian church, they were a lawless bunch. That the one bro woke up one day and said, the Spirit of God ministered to me to take my father's wife. And he just went, collected one young wife that his father had, and was living in the same house with her. No, Paul was like, hey, it's not like this. But he greeted them properly. Go ahead at the beginning. I've heard of your faith. You guys are doing well. In fact, the whole world has heard. The Galatians didn't steal 5 kobos. Nobody was exchanging wives. Yet, that was one time he began to, you know what he say in Pidgin English? The guy begins to swear for them. I don't know how many of you speak Pidgin English. The guy begins to swear for everybody. Anybody who says anything different from what I have said, let him be accosted. Even if it is I, Paul, that comes back tomorrow to tell you what I said before is not correct, let me be accosted. And woe betide the person who has the temerity to go there and speak against those words of Paul. They will have seen the guy die publicly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, these promises, they were there in the Old Testament, committed, well, what we call the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, they belong as much to the Jew as they belong to the Christian, as they belong to the Jew. What God needs to do is to open your eyes to see how they apply to your situation. So somebody says that read only the New Testament is good. Get introduction there. But the Bible says clearly that the gospel was preached by the prophets. If you don't read Isaiah, you don't know anything yet. If you have not read David, to say if I fall 7 times, I will yet rise up again. Falling is sufferings of Christ. Rising is the glory of Christ. Are you getting my point? He said, my enemy don't laugh when I fall, because I will rise again. That is, when I fall, it's called the sufferings of Christ. Once Christ suffers, Christ must be glorified. That's what Paul was saying. Are you getting my point? See why nobody, look, I'm preaching some of the message now. That's why nobody can, in this country, nobody can persuade me to move. Because glory is about to appear. After partaking in the suffering, you want me to now disappear when it's time for glory? They curse me. No. After partaking in suffering, after taking my own part in suffering, when it is time for glory, you want me to run? You cannot bait me, my friend. You can't. For every suffering of Christ, there is a glory. Are you hearing my point? That's why Paul said, how did he say it again? He said, the temporal light affliction cannot be compared with the eternal weight of glory that will be revealed because of that affliction. See, the affliction is temporal, it's light. It's not much. It may appear painful. He said, but because of that affliction, there is a glory that is revealed, which is always eternal. Are you following my point? And that's what we are saying. Paul said, Peter was explaining, he said, the prophets prophesied. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, here verse 2, he said, this gospel was promised beforehand through the prophets. It's just that they were not of any effect until Jesus came. But to the Jews, he gave and committed the oracles of God. Guard it and keep it. A day will come that this book will be the most popular book on this earth. You don't know, the Bible has never been rivaled in popularity. Never. It is always the best-selling book on the earth. Which is interesting, considering the fact that there are all kinds of people printing all kinds of versions. It always switches between, this year might be King James. There was a year for a long time it was NIV. Then New Living Translation came out, and then it would overtake. But it's always a Bible. You can write Da Vinci Code. No, I'm telling you, you can write, what's the name of the boy wizard? Harry Potter. You are not going to beat the Bible in circulation and spread. You can't. You cannot. It's the eternal word of God. God has prepared it as his package for mankind. We'll continue on it next time. So that you understand how to read that. What I'm introducing to you today is that mystery of Paul and helping us understand how to read the Old Covenant. The easy way to even start, anytime, get a Bible that puts New Testament reference to the Old Testament in block letters on different characters. Then read them in context. Initially, you'll be taken aback at the disparity in usage. But that's to let you know that the prophets prophesied, even to them it was confusing. But to his holy apostles and prophets, the understanding is being opened So you get to Paul. Paul will quote things like, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that's stretching out the wheat. And I said, hey, listen, that's a type. We're not obeying laws now. We are getting the principles behind those laws. You get to where we were just now. When Paul will be telling you about, I refer to Hebrews. He preached the gospel to those who are far. Then we're talking about, I am my bread. You look at it and say, didn't look alike. Then you see Jesus said that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, where was that one from? Ezekiel said that I went to the temple and from this edge the water was flowing. He said, that's what he was saying. That is, the temple was representing a person. The temple represented a person. Then God begins to open your eyes. Let me close with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But let me just read this. He said, but to this day, from 15, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from, is that into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That is, what you see in the scriptures depends on whether your eyes are unveiled or they are not. That is, if you have understanding, you see candlesticks. Are you getting my point? You will see the effort. You will see the uniform of the priests. And what will you be getting? Revelation. Understanding. Understanding will be jumping to your eyes. Because the Bible said that those things, that God took Moses to the mountain and said, see that temple? He said, I have seen it. He said, go to the earth and replicate it. It's a type of what I'm going to do in the life of the people that believe in Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point I'm making? That you will see the ark, the golden censer. You will see the rod of Aaron that budded. You will see all those things. And revelation will be jumping. Understanding will be entering your heart. Listen, everything God commanded Moses to make in the temple, the Bible says clearly it was a shadow. Are you getting my point? It was a shadow of things that were supposed to come. If God opens your eyes, you will see it all. But if your eyes are veiled, you will see the New Testament. And now you'll be seeing, thou shalt not. Women shall not talk in church. The long hair is not good. Short one is bad. No. Peter said, no jewelry. Women are not supposed to wear jewelry. Adornment should not be with gold. Adornment should be, then all the women will remove their jewelry. Quickly, put it down. You understand? He said, it is after the inward man of the heart. Like one woman said, sisters, men still look on the outside. It is God that looks at your heart. So when you get home, your husband will look on the outside. Now, I'm just saying that when people don't have understanding, then they start bringing laws out of where there was no law. Where there were no strict codes and things like that, they would manufacture it. Why? Because eyes are not unveiled. But the man with the unveiled face, he will look into strict laws and get understanding. They said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that stretching out the wheat. Paul said, can't you see? He said, what do you mean? He said, it's a type. A type of what? It means that every time a man ministers to you, you're supposed to minister back to him. He said, yeah, is it in the Bible? Paul said, it's there. You can't see it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? God, you know, they will start telling you things about the priest must not wear. You know, the priest of God was forbidden from wearing anything that made him sweat. That is, he couldn't wear polyester, no nylon material, satin, others didn't know. It must always be linen, cotton, wool, things that had pores that he mustn't sweat. Then begins to tell you that prosperity must come by the Spirit. That a man who will prosper in God must not labor to prosper, but must labor to enter into God's rest. Then the grace of God will carry him into prosperity. You are reading this from laws. Do you understand my point? Come on, let us close. The Lord is good. All right, let us pray. I want us to just say one prayer for ourselves as we close today. You say, Lord, open my eyes, unveil my face, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy prophets, out of thy promises, out of the law and the prophets, out of the whole Bible, especially things that have to do with my life. That I have come to understand that your promises are not just for the Jews, but they are confirmed only in Christ Jesus.